Proverbs chapter 23. Boy, it wasn't until I started singing this morning that my voice started crackling up on me. But you gotta love fishermen's friends. Kind of like Buckley's. Tastes horrible, but it does a good job, right? Well, actually, some of the Buckley's aren't, or some of the fishermen's friends aren't that bad. Proverbs chapter 23, and when you find your place, we'll stand for the reading of God's word. And we will read verse 12 through 16. I'll read if you follow along. Apply thine heart unto instruction, and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Withhold not correction from thy child, from the child. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear my Father, we come before you, and we thank you for the safety that you've provided to our people coming in this morning from various places and some a little further than others. We thank you for that. And now, Lord, we ask that you be with us as we dig into your word, that you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, as we look at particularly the matter of applying our heart unto understanding and instruction, knowledge, wisdom, Lord, help us to apply it. Help us to be fervent in our desire to apply these words. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Okay. So picking up in verse 12, we read here, apply thy heart unto instruction, and thine ears to the words of knowledge. We've looked at the matter of applying ourselves to something in the past, and in particular to wise counsel. It means that we have to give something, when we look at being applied to something, it means to give something purposed, intentional attention, where it's purposed. I was building some cabinets this last week, and I was operating my table saw. I was giving that blade some purposed attention, because I have known so many people that have cut fingers off, cut hands off, and I'm looking at that blade. You know, sometimes things happen like the wood jogs and moves, and you're worried that your plywood's going to get cut wrong, and you sometimes aren't thinking. You reach across the blade, forgetting that blade is spinning at a high RPM. So I always remember, hey, my hand's more important than a sheet of plywood. Even if I lost the whole sheet of plywood, my hand is way more important. I apply myself intentional, purposefully to that blade, and I pay particular attention to it. And when it comes to the matter of applying our heart unto instruction, it's got to be purposed, intentional attention. So we have purposed in our heart, I need to hear this. I need to understand it. I need to pursue it. It's intentional. It's not just happenstance, but it's intentional, where we go, you know what? I need this. And there's that attention where we're watching it very carefully. We're listening. It can't be something that's in the peripheral of our mind. Sometimes when I'm working in my workshop, I like to listen to either some good godly messages or maybe a good audio book. You know, a true story, a biography. You know, I've listened to all sorts of biographies. Biographies about Abraham Lincoln, Andrew Jackson. So many biographies that you can get. Biographies on leadership. And so as I'm listening to it, sometimes it's sort of in the background because I'm trying to pay attention to those tools I'm using. And sometimes I have to go back and re-listen to that, back it up. What was that that they said? Or what was that scripture verse? If I'm listening to the Word of God. And I have to, I mean, yesterday, I think it was, or day before, I had to back up a message to the 15-minute mark about three times to catch what he was saying, this pastor. We have to give it attention. It cannot just be in the periphery of our mind. We must attach great importance to it. You know, I think it's good to take an inventory in our life of what is important. The things that are important, they will register on our computer, on our mind, so much more often. We'll be thinking about them. And so, that is a real telltale sign for what is important to us. So if the Word of God is coming to our mind repeatedly, over and over and over, the things of the Lord, that's a good sign. Here Solomon tells his son to apply thine heart unto instruction in the words of knowledge. Now, it's very important, as we think about what we're applying our hearts to, that we apply our heart to the right kind of instruction. You think back to, he's talking here to Rehoboam, his son, who is later going to become king. Unfortunately, Rehoboam made some poor choices later, didn't he? When his father dies, he showed some degree of wisdom in that he went to his father's counselors and said, "What should I tell the people? I'm getting ready to take over as king. What should I tell the people?" But unfortunately, he took their counsel and said, "Okay, I'll think about that." And then he went to the council of his peers, men that were not godly, men that were not wise. And he accepted their counsel. And what happened? The kingdom was rent in twain, and he received the much smaller bit of the kingdom because he applied his heart to the wrong instruction. There are so many out in this world that will give us the wrong kind of instruction. It might be Google. It might be some internet forum that we land upon. It might be a coworker. It might be a friend. It might be a relative that is maybe well-meaning, but they're giving the wrong instruction. And just like Rehoboam, if we follow that wrong instruction, it'll reap bad consequences. So we've got to sift through advice, and we've got to test it against the Word of God. There needs to be a chapter and verse for every decision we make. Either a direct command or a principle. It cannot just be our own feelings. It cannot be emotionally based. So when advice is given to us, it needs to be consistent with Scripture. One principle that stood out to me in this verse, there's so many truths right here that we've just looked at. So Proverbs 23, verse 12, apply thine heart. So we've talked about applying, how it has to be intentional, purposed attention. We've talked about applying it to instruction, to good instruction. But notice also, apply thine heart. Apply thine heart. It's not just enough to apply our actions to instruction. Sometimes people will be told certain things, and they'll say, "Well, I don't agree with this, but I'll do it anyway." And they're not profited by it. They're not laying it up in their heart. And as we think about parents, one of our goals is to capture the heart of our child. Not by force, not by coercion, not because we are the parent, but rather by consistently loving them, consistently showing them why we do what we do, consistently showing them things like, "Okay, well, Johnny, you lied. Let's look at what the Bible says about lies. Let's look at the fact that God hates deceit. Johnny, you just stole that from your sister. Let's read what the Bible says about stealing. Let's look at the consequences of these sins. Instead of just being reactionary and blowing up and just, you know, having a freak attack, rather, we show them from Scripture. And oftentimes, if our children have been growing up in the ways of the Lord, we can remind them of a certain story. You know, what happened here? Johnny, what happened when this happened in Scripture, when this happened? Look at the consequences. So by showing them consistent love, showing them why we do what we do, why we don't do what we don't do, hopefully we should capture their heart, earn their trust, earn their love. So when Solomon is saying to his son here, apply thine heart unto instruction, It's not just enough to be a follower, to be a doer. Sometimes people equate doing with godliness. Just the fact that I'm doing it. Well, fine, I'm doing it. Isn't that good enough? No, it's not. It's got to be from the heart. As I was going through the Proverb a Day just recently, on January 3rd, I was reading Proverbs chapter 3. And a verse jumped out at me. That it's just how it goes when you're reading a Bible verse and God's word is alive and the Lord speaks to us. Notice verse 1, Proverbs 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. He wasn't saying, son, you obey me. He's pleading with his son. Forget not my law. I'm teaching you these things. Don't forget him. But notice there, but let thine heart keep my commandments. He didn't say, let your mind keep your commandments. Remember, the mind and the heart often battle against each other. The mind knows what needs to be done and tells the heart, this needs to be done. And the heart sometimes goes, I don't care. I'm not doing it. And so there's a disconnect between the two. And Solomon is saying here, don't just do it, but do it from the heart. He says, let thine heart keep my commandments. And that, for a parent, is our goal, is to help them to constantly instruct them so that they never forget those words of knowledge and wisdom and understanding. And then that they would obey from the heart. That it's their heart desire. In times past, as I've taught some of our children, I've tried to impress upon them that it's not just enough for them to conform to the will of mommy and daddy. The goal is that the will of mommy and daddy becomes their will. That they choose to say, okay, just like Christ, between his heavenly Father, Christ said, I didn't come to do my own will. I came to do yours. So I need to find out what your will is. I need to do it, essentially. And so for a child or a young person, they need to be finding out what is the will of their parents and then do it. Make that their will. So Solomon here in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1, he didn't want his son just to obey him. He wanted him to lay up wisdom, instruction, put it in his heart, and to obey from the heart, knowing that it was right. We looked at verses before about how the Lord laments that people's lips are near him, but their hearts are far from him. Here's a similar verse, Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 31. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. That's not what Solomon wanted for his son. He wanted his son to apply his heart unto his understanding, or sorry, his instruction. He wanted him to not forget his law, but let his heart keep his commandments. So many people waste their life with pretensions, with pretending to do something when it's not from the heart. I think of when, in times past when I used to work on farms, and there were some farms that I worked at where they had those electric stock prods. I'm not a big fan of them. Maybe some animals need them, I don't know, but in the one farm that I used them, I felt like the owner really kind of abused the animals with this electric stock prod. And I found ways to get those animals to go where I wanted them to go without having to zap them. And so there, you would, using the stock prod, you'd be behind them, goading them to move forward. And I've found ways to be ahead of the animals, leading them. Or at the very most, sometimes with hogs, kind of having that door open and making them think that's not where you want them to go. And you're behind them, just sort of aimlessly move, and they start doing their, they're very inquisitive. What's behind that door? Oh, well, there's a ramp that goes into the bus that's going to take them to market, but they don't know that. What's behind that door? You know, and as they're going up closer and closer, you're behind them with a piece of plywood, and you're blocking their escape back that way, and they just keep going. But with animals like cattle, if you show them love and kindness, you can lead them. Sheep, you can lead them. And when it comes to parents, our goal is not to walk behind our children with a stock prod. You do this. You do this because this is right. Our intention is to lead them by consistently showing them the way. We're ahead of them, not behind them. We're ahead of them. Helping them walk the paths of righteousness. Okay, let's go back into our text. So Proverbs chapter 23. Apply thine heart unto instruction, and thine ears to the words of knowledge. God has given us ears. You think of Scripture, it says, he that hath ears, let him hear. And we're to use those ears. And as Jesus said, let it sink down into your ears. Not just go in one ear and out the other, as the saying goes, but to actually profit by it and capture it on the way through. I'm going to skip verses 13 through 14 in a little over a week from now. We're going to be looking at child-rearing at our place as part of this marriage and family enrichment time. And so we'll be looking at some of the nature of discipline and some of the foundational blocks behind it. So we'll deal with it either then or in the future as we have some of these different sessions. Verse 15, my son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. You know, a parent so happy when a child makes a decision, not because they're coerced into it, but because they know this is right. A parent loves it when they are a stone's throw from their child. Their child doesn't know that they're there. And their child does something. Like maybe someone comes up to them and wants their toy, and they either give it or they lend it to that person, or they share their cookie with somebody, whatever it is. A parent loves that when they see, man, this is great. You know, I've been teaching about benevolence. I've been teaching about preferring others. And look at it. They're starting to capture that. As you know, it takes a while for a child to get that way. That inherent sinful nature we have is so powerful, isn't it? It's all about me, starting from a very young age. So my son, if thy heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. As we try to capture the hearts of our children, it has to be done with love. And if we capture their heart, they will want to please us. They will want to see us overjoyed. Now, if you've not captured the heart of your child, and your child's a rebel, they could care less. If you're happy, you're sad, doesn't matter. They could care less. It is so important with our children to capture their hearts, to not be responding in a snappy way, in an angry way, in an impatient way. And that can be hard. You know, sometimes, I mean, just yesterday, one of my children was about to do something that I told them not to do over and over and over. I mean, it was a big deal some months back, and then it didn't become a problem, and then it was about ready to start again. I'm like, how could you not remember this? You got in big trouble for this. Oh, I didn't remember. You're like, You know that up there? That's there for a reason, that bald spot. But our goal is to capture their heart so that they are happy that we rejoice. So my son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. The reins are the driving force of an individual. Our emotions will rejoice when thy lips speak right things. It takes a lot of training, a lot of patience for children to turn out that way. Then he says in verse 17, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Let not thine heart envy sinners. Yet when your children are growing up, they're going to be comparing themselves to others. But how come they get this? How come I don't get this? Why do they get to go to that place? That looks so much fun. Why don't I get to go to that place? And they'll envy those who are in sin because it looks fun. And you know, a great danger is when a parent just says, what they're doing is wrong, and leaves it at that. That's where a parent needs to talk about the pleasures of sin for a season. That's where a parent needs to spend some time showing their children the consequences of bad decisions. Look at what's happened to this person. The decision they made, look at where they are now. Not to be disrespectful to that person, not to look down your nose at that person, but to show the consequences. And of course, the greatest place we can go to is Scripture. As we look at, and that's where we have to be familiar with the Word of God, backwards, forwards, inside, outside, to know God's Word so that we can say, hey, let's take a look at King David when he did this. You know? Let's look at Daniel when he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself the king's meat. Let's look at Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego when they purposed that they would not bow themselves before that image and how God protected them. So look at both sides. The negatives, I mean, the Bible says they are for our ensamples or examples. So don't just cut them off when their heart is envying sinners. Show them the results of that sin. The Bible tells us that the seeds we sow, we will reap, and we'll reap a harvest. Either good or it'll be bad. It depends on what kinds of seeds we're sowing. And so they need to see the results of the fruit, what gets sown. Of course, we ourselves, we got to make sure that we don't envy the sinners too, right? Sometimes that can be hard, even for adults. As you make decisions, as you make sacrifices, as you choose to follow God, and you look at your neighbor and he's got all these toys. You know, I can tell you, there's a lot of things that I wouldn't mind having in life. You know, it'd be kind of fun to have Skidoo, wouldn't it? With all this water around us, wouldn't it be kind of fun to have a Sea-Doo? Wouldn't it be fun to have a quad? You know, there's so many different things a person could desire after, lust after. And sometimes God grants people, you know, this or that. But we've got to be careful that we don't pursue those things, lust after them. So, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Not just during your devotion time, not just on Sunday or Wednesday, all the day long, in the fear of God. Remember, the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. Then verse 18, for surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. There is an end for the godly person and an end for the wicked person. When a person goes into sin, when they leave the paths of righteousness, they go from the frying pan into the fire, as the saying goes. There is an end. There's an end for the righteous. It's a tough slog at times. There are difficult times. There's hurt, there's pain. But the Lord gives so much joy through all that, if we handle it right. And then on the other side, there is the pain of sowing the wrong kinds of seed. And so, in our own lives, we got to be careful with that. In the lives of our children, we need to show them the results, the end. So verse 19 was tied up there. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thy heart in the way. So it's all about hearing. In other places, it talks about bowing down his ear. Lord willing, look at that next week. Bowing down our ear. But he says, Hear thou, my son, listen, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. We can't mandate our children's heart. We cannot force them to do what is right. I mean, in our home, we can certainly make sure that they're not doing evil. But you know the saying, what the young boy that was told to sit down, and when his teacher forces him to sit down, he says, well, I'm still standing up in my heart. That's unfortunate when children do that. But that's something that we need to plead for their heart. We need to pray for their heart. We need to capture their heart through love so that they guide their heart in the wisdom and ways that we've instructed them in. Okay, well, let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and Lord, your word is so full of gems. Lord, we pray that every one of us here would be following you from the heart, as we saw from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. That we'd apply our hearts to instruction. Lord, that we see there is an end for the wicked, for those that fall into sin, there is an end. There's also a glorious end for the believer who's walking in righteousness. Even the believer that falls down and gets back up, falls down and gets back up. There is a good end. And we pray that you would help us to see that end, the fruit of what we sow. And Lord, help us to sow good seeds. Lord, in our pouch of seeds, let there not be weeds. Let there not be dandelions and thistles. Lord, help there to be good seed. Help our children to see that seed being laid out consistently, and that they would follow in our footsteps. They would guide our heart, their heart, in our instructions, and keep our commandments from their heart, not just from their mind, but from their heart. Guide each parent here, Lord. Give them strength. Give them wisdom. Lord, we ask that you would be with us as we go into our morning worship service, that you speak to our hearts. Be with any that are still traveling. We ask for safety. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.